It is so easy to become weary, to become tired, to lose heart, to despair, to faint. 6 times in the New Testament, you'll find that word, to faint. Let me just read those 6 times. 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary. That's the same phrase. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now that faint not at the end of that verse isn't the same word. That actually means if we don't give out. Ephesians 3:13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. 5th one is 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. The word faint, becoming weary, tired, losing heart, despairing. It's what we do when somebody leaves the church. When our work seems vain, when you hear bad news, we tend to faint. When it seems like injustice is ruling, when it seems like evil men are getting their way, we are tempted to faint. And admittedly, when things go like that, it's hard not to faint. I gave you 5, but I said there were 6, and the 6th one is actually its first occurrence in the New Testament. And here's what Jesus said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So what's the antidote to fainting? Praying. It's found in Luke 18:1. And as you're turning there, let me just give you an illustration of what it's like to faint in praying. You know when somebody makes a New Year's resolution? I know this because I go to the Funplex where I work out. And every January, the Funplex is full. People have made resolutions. This year, I'm going to do it. This year, I'm going to do it. And it's always funny. You walk in and you see these people just really going to town. People you know, this ain't going to last. You just watch and you know this is not going to happen. They had this New Year's resolution. They've got this burst of energy. They've got this determination at the start. And it goes well for a month or so, and then it dies out. In January, people are out jogging, walking, even in the cold, dieting, whatever it may be. But soon they faint. Same thing happens with prayer. When everything's going well, when you're experiencing spiritual victory, and it makes it easier to pray and praise. But all of us have times of spiritual dryness, don't we? I mean, that's what I experienced. Does anybody else have times of spiritual dryness? And we say, well, I'm just too dry to pray. I'm too discouraged. Too tired of the battle. Or maybe I'm too unbelieving, too empty, too guilty. And we give in to our feelings. Could be triggered by a lack of sleep. Someone hurt my feelings. They kept the temperature at the church too cold. Anybody cold? You're experiencing some kind of an ongoing trial. All of those things can contribute to the fact that I feel too dry to pray. And there's this faulty reasoning that we soon begin to conjure up. How I feel influences God's willingness to hear my prayers. So if I feel too dry to pray, That's when I better not pray because I feel too dry, and that's going to influence how God listens to my prayer, right? Let me ask you something. Is God more impressed when you feel good, spiritual, rested, and joyful? Is he more impressed to say, oh, now I'm going to listen? Does God's willingness to hear my prayers rely upon the fact of whether I feel full or dry? Somebody said, if you do not feel like praying, then don't think that God doesn't expect you to pray. If you do that, you're allowing your feelings to determine what is right and wrong. And you may as well wear a mood ring to help you determine when to pray. Does anybody remember the mood rings? If my mood is, oh, this is a good time to pray, I feel good. Mood ring. Oh, yeah, and I don't feel like praying either. It's just interesting that when we feel dry, we feel too dry to pray. We give in to our moods. In Luke 18, Jesus gives this parable about this persistent woman. She's a widow, and somebody's been hassling her. And she goes to the city judge to present her case to the judge, and the judge wouldn't do anything about it. He ignored her. And so Jesus spoke a parable toward the necessity that his disciples always need to be praying and not to be losing heart. Based upon, then he gives the parable after he says that. Let's just read the parable. It says in verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. That word avenge means I will do justice. Lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, he's going to make the application on prayer now. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge, that is, do justice for his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. We'll get to the last part of verse 8 here in just a minute. But I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Again, you go back to verse 1, and when it says that men ought always to pray, it's the word necessary. It is necessary that men always pray. It is necessary that they don't faint. Men are always fainting when they could be praying. If you are ever in a place where you cannot pray, you're in a place where no Christian belongs. Whether that place is physical or whether that place is spiritual. I believe that those who are faithful to Wednesday prayer meeting are more likely to have a prayer life outside of church. Because they're not losing heart. I think one of the reasons people don't come to Wednesday prayer meetings is because it doesn't do any good. If prayer actually did some good, I think people would be faithful. But they've already lost heart. It doesn't do any good. Typically, those who will have, as Paul said, fought a good fight, finished their course, and kept the faith. Those who have kept the faith. Why do I say that, kept the faith? Because now I want you to look at the last part of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Paul said, I've kept the faith. Jesus says, will I even find it? It is necessary always for men to be praying. It is not necessary for men always to be fainting. You see, the problem of fainting is so great that Jesus has to ask whether or not he will find faith on earth when he returns. There's a correlation between fainting and a lack of faith. Losing heart leads to losing faith. Those who are always praying, listen to me, and listen to what Jesus says here. Those who are always praying are those who are not losing heart. In other words, always being ready to pray disallows the attitude, I don't feel like it. Again, if you are ever in a place where you cannot pray, you're in the wrong place. Whether that place is a physical location, whether it's your mental state or your spiritual state. Spurgeon once said, "Let all your actions be consistent with your prayers and be, in fact, a continuation of your prayers." Think about that. Every one of my actions consistent with my prayers and a continuation of my prayers. Folks, if a corrupt judge, as we read about in Luke 18, this is what Jesus told us. If a corrupt judge would regard the persistence of a widow woman, reason is much stronger that God would regard persistent prayers of his own elect. I quote D.A. Carson in his book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation. He said, as far as Jesus is concerned, the real question is not whether or not God answers prayer, but whether or not we have the faith to persevere. For the passage ends with Jesus asking the probing question of 18:8. To fall back on the excuse that we feel too dry is merely to admit that we do not exercise the kind of faith that perseveres. You see, perseverance is what is needed when I feel too dry, too guilty, too unbelieving, to whatever. That's the whole point of what Jesus is saying here. That's when I need to persist in prayer. And note that the parable also teaches that God does not immediately answer a prayer. And that's good. For if God would instantly answer all of your prayers, he would be nothing to you more than a genie who does not discern your good. Thus, faith is necessary in prayer. So do you feel too dry spiritually to pray? Then persist in doing what is right because it is right, not because you feel like it. Quit being a quitter. Again, Spurgeon, I love this quote. Heaven's gate does not open to every runaway knock. Did any of you ever do knock and run, Brandon? Did you do it at our house ever? You guys ever done run and knock? I'm not teaching you to do this. Don't tell your mom and dad. I learned this at Westside Baptist Church. Because I did. When we lived in Omaha when I was a kid, my brothers and I would spend the nights knocking and running. Why do you knock and run? You're not there to ask something and do something for the people. You're not really going there to ask for something. I find it interesting. I used to sell seeds when I was 8 years old. I would go door to door, knock on the door, and I'd have a box of seeds from the Lancaster Seed Company. And I would say, my name is Danny Unruh. Don't you dare call me Danny. I would say, my name is Danny Unruh, and I am selling seeds because I want to win this BB gun. And I would show them the seeds, and the people were always so nice, and they'd look through my box of seeds. Well, I don't need that. You know, I really don't need that, but I'll take that one. I sold these packs of seeds. I think it was for 10 cents a pack. And if I sold enough, I'd get a BB gun. I would go back to those same houses at night and knock and run. Talk about being a brat. I say that because somebody did that at our house a few weeks ago. And I'm thinking, wow, what goes around comes around, doesn't it? Well, think about it, folks. So much time with the Lord, what do? We knock and run and wonder why God doesn't answer our prayer. But this widow woman would not give up. She stayed at that doorstep. Kept knocking. She was persistent. Judge, judge, judge. And finally, this corrupt judge meted out justice, not because he was concerned about justice. He could care less about justice, but because he was annoyed. Here's a judge who's not concerned about justice. Can you imagine that today? Surely not. No, that's well illustrated everywhere. One other point I want to make here. Brother Paul asked me a few weeks ago, what does that word faint mean? And I got back to looking at this. That's why this message is this afternoon. To faint is a compound word that literally means not to give in to evil. Now let's read it that way. Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to give in to evil. So Jesus tells us it's not necessary to become weary. It's not necessary to become tired and lose heart and despair. It is not necessary to give in to evil. The purpose for Jesus giving this parable is so that men will not give in to evil and faint. Have you been crying out to God for justice lately? Is anybody else praying that way? Keep crying out. Keep praying. Not to do so is to be giving in to evil. Do you see that? Luke tells us in the very beginning of this verse that it is necessary to be always praying and not to become discouraged. You have a choice to make. Either pray or just give in to evil. Just give in. That's what it means to faint. Folks, let's not faint. Let's not give in. Let's keep praying.